Those last nights always come around. One of these days we'll be home with the Lord, won't we?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to say I appreciate all you ladies and men. My goodness, that's been good food. He calls on me to preach of a night, right in time for a good meal. That just ruins a preacher. I just do the best I can. But we sure do enjoy it. Appreciate Brother Richardson and Sister Richardson. That's a big job to put on a camp. Any kind of a meeting, it's a big job. It wouldn't matter if it's a revival meeting. That's a big job to put on. And the Lord to meet with us, and we thank God for that. It's always good to have Brother Steve here. He lifts up your spirit, you know. He was telling me back there a while ago that I don't look a bit older than I did 20 years ago. It was his hair in his eyes that time. And I was thinking, Brother Richardson, I'm getting a little concerned about Durbin. I think he's going liberal. Probably. Didn't you think about that preaching today? I thought that was a little liberal. I thought he should have hit a few things. But he did good. Boy, this preaching's been good. I love to get away to these. You know, you get in meetings and you hold revivals and get out on the road and travel, and you always get hungry to hear somebody else preach, and that's been a joy. And I'm kind of like, now I could just sit back there and listen to the rest of you, and it blessed my heart. I don't have to preach, and I want to preach, but I don't have to. And I want to say this before I get started. I appreciate these young preachers. Boy, they've done a tremendous job this week. That is a blessing to me. And you folks here at Grace, the Lord has given y'all a great ministry. It goes beyond the walls of this church because you've got preacher boys out of this church out preaching the Word of God. And I want to say just a word. You've got one that's not here, Brother Freeman. And I preached for him up in Rockford here last Sunday. And Brother Freeman is doing a great job up there. And they had a friend Sunday. I was telling Brother R. about this, and I believe they'd been running about 90. And they had a friend Sunday and had about 240 there Sunday. And I believe there were seven adult people that raised their hands that they were lost. And so it was a blessing to be there. And of course, Brother Freeman's out of this church. And that's one of the great, great blessings of a church. Let me throw something out here to you. I told a young boy out of my church one time that you don't have to be a big church to have a big ministry.
Right.
A lot of people's got that all mixed up. Sometimes out of these small churches are coming some preachers for the Word of God, and I thank God for that, and that's a real blessing. All right, if you have your Bible and want to stand with us, we'll read from the book of Ezekiel chapter number 22, and I'll not be long, hopefully. I always say that. My wife always worries when I say that. She says, oh no, not again. we could almost take everything that's been preached and this message would be it. And Brother Scott back there, I tell you one thing, it was just good starting out. I appreciate all the preaching, been tremendous. Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 23. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, that's Israel, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There's a conspiracy of her prophets
in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things and have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes. Now notice he's gone from the prophets to the priests to the princes. In the midst thereof are like ravening, or like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And now here's God speaking again now, and he said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. Father, would you bless the Word of God tonight for a few moments? Lord, we pray that you'd use us. Lord, we'd like to be a vessel unto honor tonight. And I pray, Lord, if there's an uncleanness in me tonight, Lord, a wrong, that you would cleanse me of it before I would ever attempt to preach. Lord, let your word go out, because if there were ever a need in our day and time, this text reveals it. Bless the preaching of thy word now, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I let you be seated there. You'll notice there that the Lord stated, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. I want to preach for a little while on this thought, the divine manhunt. God's looking for a man, he said. I'm seeking for a man. Now, if you're a ladies here, we'll be inclusive of you tonight also. He wants a man, he wants a woman, he wants a girl, he wants a boy that will stand somewhere for God and be that which makes up a gap among the people of God. And if we've heard anything this week, we've heard the fact that our churches need somebody to be steadfast, to be faithful, to live a holy and godly life in this world and stand there for God and be counted for God. Amen. You know, it kind of amazes me how many times in the Bible God had a man for the right moment. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When he needed an ark built, he had a Noah. When he wanted a man to show the world faith, he had an Abraham. When he had a man that he wanted to show a world his laws and the principles of holiness, he raised up a Moses. When he wanted a man to sit on a throne that one day his son was set upon, he raised up a David. And God has always been interested in a man, in a woman. When he needed, somebody mentioned this week, when he needed a judge,
Maybe when man was not filling his position, he raised up a Deborah. He raised up a Ruth. He raised up an Esther for such a time as this. Now, here is a text, and I believe most of you, I've been preaching quite a bit out of the Minor Prophets recently, because I believe there's so much similarity between the minor, or not just the minor, but all the prophets, and our nation and our day and time. We're living in a perilous time in our nation. And I got to looking at this text in the previous chapters here, and I want to show you what's going on in the nation. And I'm just going to briefly mention this, because I get too long if I get all of this, and I just want to briefly mention it. These were the conditions of the nation of Israel. First of all, they had gone over to idolatry, setting up their false idols, setting up their images, going to their groves and their high places, and going up to Samaria, where Jeroboam had set up his false gods and ordained his false priests. And so the land had given itself over to idolatry. Why is it that the ball fields and the ball stadiums are full and our churches are empty? It's because our sports and our sports figures and our entertaining figures, they have become the gods of this land. The Hannah Montanas, our churches know more about the Hannah Montanas than they do the Esthers of the Bible. We know more about our stars and our movie stars and our sports stars and our racing stars and everything that's in our country today. We've got their pictures up. And instead of having the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes and verses from the Bible, our little children have the pictures of their idols in the rooms. That's in America. They were given over not only to idolatry, but immorality. I tell you, this is the most immoral society. I was preaching a message Sunday, and Sunday before last, and I hope I didn't hit, well, I don't mind if I hit them, but I didn't mean to. But I said something about in our day and time, instead of people getting married, they shack up. And I had two couples there that morning that were with their friends. I'm hoping they wasn't shacking up. Barb said, well, what if they were? And I said, well, they need to hear that. That's a sin against God. That's immorality. And we've got situations of that day in our day and time. Immorality just seems like it's rampant in our land. And you look over here at the nation of Israel. Not only idolatry, but immorality and adultery and fornication and all kinds of sexual perversions such as our day and time. I never dreamed, and it's coming to our churches, and it'll be, you'll have to confront it before you get out of this world. You're going to have a couple come want you to marry them. Man and man. And listen, I believe this, Brother Richardson. I believe before we get out of here and out of this world, that old-time Bible-believing Baptist preaching, King James Bible preachers will be arrested for not being politically correct. I look any time when I'm on the radio preaching on homosexuality for somebody to come by and confront you. And that day will come. And you say, well, how do you know that will come? Because your Christian radios gets their license from the government. And the day will come, if you say anything against the Muslims and Islam, those are the thinnest skinned people I've ever seen. They can't even stand to be criticized. And God's people have been criticized from the very day that they got started. the Christians have been looked upon as a sect, and they've been looked upon as some weirdos and some peculiar people. And I will tell you, friends, you better get you a thick skin upon you, because we're living in the day when if you preach on immorality and idolatry and the gods of this world, you're going to preach against this world.
Amen.
Israel had these. They had infidelity. Infidelity to God. Infidelity to His Word. In fact, you'll notice here in our text, and I kind of like to preach a text because, you know, it gives you something to preach there. It said, here comes a bunch of prophets, and they're saying, God said, and it said, when God had not spoken.
Yeah. Amen.
And we've got people here in our society, don't turn on a TV preacher and hope to get much of a gospel message out of it. They've had a falling out with the Word of God. They've had a falling out with the Scripture. You wouldn't know, when you listen to them, they don't even know what Bible to read out of.
Amen.
Much less what to preach from it.
Right.
You see, there's infidelity to the Word of God. There's infidelity to the precepts of God. There's infidelity to the commands of God. And then this on top of all of it, ignorance. How ignorant our society is. We've got about the dumbest society to be so educated. Because the Bible said that we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The ignorance, you know, the Bible said there'll be a famine, not for bread and water, but for the hearing of the Word of God. Listen, if you can find an old-time Bible preaching, Bible believing, Bible living, a Baptist church that stands for God and stands for the principles of God, get in that thing. If you have to drive 50 miles to get to it, you get you in a place where the Word of God is preached in sincerity and truth and power. Because you see, there's an ignorance. There's an ignorance in our day and time. Some of the most stupid beliefs come along. And you wonder where it's coming from. It's just coming out of left field. You don't know who started it. But you see, Ezekiel is living in that day and time. Now, here's what struck me on this. God said, I sought for a man. But now here's what struck me on this. He said, I sought for a man among them. Now, who's the them? Well, it started over here with the prophets. They'd be equal to our preachers. Amen. I sought for a man among them, the prophets. Now, here's what he said the prophets were doing. He said they were like lions ravening, devouring souls, and they've taken the treasures and precious things. In other words, the prophets had started preaching for their pocketbooks.
Amen.
They's more interested in salary. Amen. They're more interested in the treasures. You know, sometimes you ask a church how they're doing, they'll tell you what their offerings were. That has nothing to do with how a church is doing. I know churches that's got thousands in the bank as dead as last year's bird's nest. You see, the prophets were interested in padding their own pockets. You show me a man that puts a price on his preaching, and I'll show you a man that's not called of God. He's out of the will of God. I would never have a preacher that tells me, well, I'll have to have $1,000 to come and hold a meeting for you. I'd say, go look for another place to give you the money, because I do not need you. And God said, I look for a man among the prophets. Now, here's what he said they were doing. They were out there daubing things up. Amen. Now that means the book of Ezekiel chapter number 13 says that they had built things out of untempered mortar.
Right.
And so the prophets have to spend all the time daubing things up.
Yeah.
Never get anything fixed. Isn't that kind of what churches are doing anymore? Yeah. Patching things up.
Yeah.
Amen. Patching, putting Band-Aids on stuff. Never getting to the source of things. I'll tell you what's the problem with this world. It's depravity. We're living in a depraved society. From the top of their head to the bottom of the foot. It's open wounds and putrefying sores spiritually in the eyes of God. And people out here daubing. You know, untempered mortar. Brother Tripp the other day asked me about that. But untempered mortar is mortar that doesn't have the right mix in it.
Amen.
Now, I know something about this because I helped my dad build for years. And you get a wheelbarrow out here. Dad, I believe it was, always told me to put three shovels of sand to one shovel of mortar.
Right.
All right? Now, if you get too much sand in it, the mortar won't stick to your trowel. And if you get too much mortar in it, your mortar won't come off the trowel. It'll stick to it. And you know, we got people. Now, listen here, listen. Man, I never thought of this until I got preached. I might preach on that a while here. Why is it that people don't stick anymore?
They got the right wrong man.
They heard so much, oh, God is so good. And God wouldn't do nothing to you. And God won't ever harm you. And God won't ever speak ill to you. And God won't ever spank you. And God won't ever put His hand upon you. They're lying to you.
Yeah. Amen.
And I saw Joel and his dear little wife on all the news media this week. And he's smiling so big. And she's smiling so big. I tell you why she's smiling so big. He's smiling so big. We got a bunch of stupid people out there buying their books while they're putting your money in their pockets. That man ain't never preached against sin.
No. And he ain't going
to. I've never heard him preach against sin. I've heard him out of his own mouth say he preaches nothing negative. Well, how about thou shalt not kill? What if he looked back there and said, hey, back there, you're committing adultery with that one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's negative. He can't preach that. It ain't got nothing to stick there. Amen. Now, don't get white on me here. I'm preaching truth to you. Has no substance to it. And therefore, in our world, all of the prophets of this world, all they're doing is just daubing up.
Yeah.
Amen, daubing up. Brother Dean Gooch used illustration. These people that said the reason he didn't use any Bible but the King James, Brother Dean, if you know him, loves to fish. If he has 7 points, 3 of them will be about fishing. And he'll find a Bible text for you somewhere.
Yeah.
They went a fishing.
Yeah.
Or they caught nothing or something of that nature.
Yeah.
But Brother Dean said the reason he didn't use any of the Bible, the King James, he said that when you throw a net out there to catch fish and you start pulling it in, it's like a net that's got holes in it. And about time you start to pull in the fish, you'll find that they got through a hole in the net. And about time you got somebody you think's going to get saved, but you left out the blood, you'll have nothing to pull them in with. They left out the deity of Christ, you'll have nothing to pull them in on. They leave out the truth of God's Word. It's got a hole in it. And you'll never be able to snag them. And if you do snag them, you've got a carp.
Yeah.
Or sucker. or some of that kind. Hagar, yes. But it won't be you see, there's something about a prophet that all the time is going around dobbing up, just preach the words, what God said. Just preach the word. Now, he looked here among the priests. You know, priests are those that went in and dealt with the holy things, the sacrifices. They were the ones that put the blood on the altars. They were the one that were in the holy things. He looked for a man among them and couldn't find a man among them. And then you'll notice the princes. Oh, my, I'm not going to get on this one tonight, because if I do, I will not get off. But now let me just say, the princes would mean the leaders of the country. The leaders of the country. Now let's let your imagination run. The leaders of the country. Oh, if we've got anybody in Washington that's spiritual, I haven't seen it come to the surface.
You're right.
How many of y'all grew up on a farm? Y'all remember when we used to milk cows and Mom would churn butter and make butter and all that stuff? Now, let me show you something that I learned on a farm. Cream will always come to the top.
Yes, sir.
Cream will always come to the top. That's the reason Mom and Dad either had an old Jersey or Guernsey.
Yeah, man.
They love to make butter.
Boy, good cream.
And you get a gallon, a bucket of milk like that, there'll be that much cream on it. It'll always come to the top. Now, I believe righteousness will come out. Don't you believe that? I believe if you're always wondering whether somebody's saved or not, somebody's got a problem. We're living in a time when our leaders do not know God. We've gone from the fact that they had to be saved and be a Christian to hold an office that you can be anything anymore. I think last year we had the first Muslim that refused to be sworn in on a Bible in the history of America. In the history of America. A book... A supposed scripture that thinks that we are the big Satan. And Israel is an enemy of God. Refused to be sworn in on the Bible. And there wasn't too many people made a fuss about it, but old time patriotic, Bible believing, believe in the history of our country, preachers. He's looking for a man. And then he looked among the people. Whew. Aren't our people in a mess?
Lord, have mercy.
Oh, my. You look among the people tonight, and my, it's so mixed up. Such a spiritual mess. Such an educational mess. We got messes in every department. Homes falling apart. I believe last year was the first time we had more divorces than we had marriages.
Yep.
First time. Had more divorces than we had marriages. 10 million couples living together without marriage.
Oh, yeah.
We're in a mess. God's out here looking for a man. Yeah. Looking for a man. Now, you know, this is not an unusual thing. Because, and I'm going to give you these couple illustrations, then I'm going to get to 3 points that I want to bring out. I'm trying to hurry here. I'm trying my best to hurry. In Bible times, God looked for men. When the judges kindly tapered off and Israel started calling for a king. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And they said, we're tired of judges. We'd like to have a king to rule over us, go in and out among us like the other nations. We want to be like them. I think that's one of the phrases they use, be like them. We want to be like them. All right, so they go out there and they get man's man. He's head and shoulders taller than everybody else. Y'all remember that? They got man's man. Got old Saul. And the very first test, spiritual test, God gave him. He failed at it. He flunked it. And then to add insult to it, he intruded into the priest's office. God came down and said, I'm tired. I'm through with him. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek me a man after my own heart.
He found one.
And he found him. Psalms 106, Brother Allen said he found little David.
That's what he said.
Verse 23 said he found David. Amen. Found a man after his own heart. Praise God. All right. Now, I want to show you how important that was. I want to show you how important that was. That's in the 13th chapter.
Yeah.
13th chapter, 1 Samuel. We'll show you how important that was. Because in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, they go out to fight the Philistines, the enemy of God. And there's a giant out there, and here's what he's saying. Choose you out a man. I'm glad God had one. Choose you out a man. And then right on down from that, he said, give me a man to fight with me. All right, now here's where everybody gets mixed up. You think that God is going to match height with height. Spear with spear. Brass with brass. Beam with beam. But when God's man gets out there, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, when he gets out there, he was a little runt. Unseemly. Ruddy. He did not have the appearance of being a man of war. But he knew a God of war. He knew a God that knew how to fight. I like to serve a God that can look over here and see a man down here in an army and throw hailstones down so big and crush their heads. I'd like to serve a God that said, hey, look at that army over there. Get over there, my boys. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send some hornets among them.
Yeah, hornets.
I like a God like that.
Yeah, man.
I like a God that can fight a battle in unconventional ways. And he doesn't have to use the tactics of men. He can come over here and use a little shepherd boy. And when the song says, when man was looking at a shepherd boy, God was looking at a king. And here's the world saying, where's the man? Where's the man? That's what they're looking for tonight. They're looking for a teenage girl that'll be different.
Yes.
You teenage girls, listen up here. They're looking for one that'll be different.
Right.
Now, if you're the same, they've got the same old every day. They're looking for somebody to be different. You're a young man here tonight. I tell you, the world is looking at a young man that wants to be different. They got plenty of young. Yeah, but they're the same old.
Yes, sir,
there's no difference between them. I'll tell you what, light sticks out in darkness, doesn't it? You get a light, you get a young girl that's sold out to God, she sticks out like a sore thumb in this world. Don't you be ashamed of that young lady. You got a young man that's sold out to God, he'll stick out like a sore thumb. Don't you be ashamed of that. You look different. You act different. You talk different. You walk different. You dress different. You speak different. You have a different spirit about you. Don't be ashamed of that. God doesn't use conventional wisdom of man to fight battles. I'm looking for a man. Now I want to give you three passages, and I'm going to be done here. I'm going to three passages, and I want to show you some failures in the past. I want to show you failures, and these are still our failures. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Psalms 142. I'm just going to give you these, and I'm going to quit. Psalms 142. You're familiar with this verse. Verse number 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. God's looking for a man that'll care. I tell young preachers, if you don't care for people, don't go into the ministry. If you don't care for them, don't go into it. I love people. I love the bad ones. I love the good ones. I love people. Don't ever get into the ministry if you don't love people. You have to care. You have to care when they don't care. And there'll be a bunch of them don't care. And old David said, I was looking for someone that would know me. Just look at me, would care. I found no man. God's looking for a man that'll care. He's looking for a man that'll care. I won't tell you, I've gone to bed crying over some of my people.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I've gone to bed weeping. I see one of my teenagers get away from God. That don't thrill me.
No.
I'm going to stand before God and give an account one of these days. That is a heavy load upon people. We care for your souls as one that must give an account. We better care. You better get somebody on your heart that you care for. You better love people because God does. Oh, I know we're dealing with all mixed up messes and you name it. I've got to visit a couple tomorrow that's on the verge of destruction. I'm glad that they want to talk to a preacher. I'm glad they're not running down yonder to some psychologist. Amen. God has the answer tonight. Here David said, I in my complaint, I was in distress and I looked and refuge failed me. No man would know me. No man cared for my soul. God's looking for a man that cares. Luke 15:16, you know this one. Let me read this one. I want you to see it with your eyes. I know what it says, but I want you to see it. Old prodigal's in the hog pen. He doesn't have a thing now. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. God wants a given man. You can't outgive God. You'll never outcare God. You'll never outgive God. Give all you can. When you think you haven't given, when you think you can't give any more, give some more. God bless giving. I've never seen God be a debtor to anybody. I will tell you something here tonight. God doesn't owe anybody in here a single thing. Doesn't owe you a thing. I'm glad that God, when He makes a promise to you, He'll fulfill it to the last farthing. He will not come up on the short end of what He gives you. He giveth and He giveth and He giveth and He giveth and He giveth. and He giveth more grace. God's wanting a caring man. He's wanting a giving man. Then I give you one more and I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the old Apostle Paul. He's nearing the end. He talked about people that had withstood him, confronted him, lied about him, cheated on him. He made this statement. Verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. God wants a man that'll stand when nobody else stands. Paul, if you'll notice what that verse said, he was standing when no one stood with him. Sometimes you might stand alone. Been a few times in my ministry I've had to stand alone. Amen. I heard one of these preachers one time talk about, maybe several of you mentioned this during the week, that when you have somebody walk out on you, that's a very depressing thing. I had a man... and almost 30 people walk out on me trying to start a church. I thought it had it going good. And this man walked out because I would not compromise on baptism. He thought I ought to just receive any kind of old baptism.
Yeah.
I said, I will not do that. First of all, they're going to have to be scripturally saved.
Yeah, amen.
And then they're going to have to come from somebody that baptizes scripturally.
Yeah. Amen.
And I wouldn't compromise on that, and I lost 30 in one service.
Amen.
But you have to stand.
Yes, sir.
You have to stand.
Yes, sir.
God's looking for a man that'll care, that'll give, that'll stand.
Yes.
But I'm going to close with this verse, and in fact, you can just stand up here, and I'll close on it. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Now let me say tonight, God's looking for somebody here. And I doubt in my mind God's looking over this audience, and there's a young girl here, a young man. There's a husband or a wife. God has spoken to your heart. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. You might be a young lady here. You can't preach the gospel, but boy, there are so many things you can do for God. God's looking for somebody. I'm seeking for somebody here tonight. Do you care? Do you have a caring heart? Do you have a giving spirit? Do you have some backbone about you that you'll stand? God will take you. Them's the kind He wants. Them's the kind He wants. Amen. Father, now tonight we've tried to preach Your Word. And Lord, thank You for all the great messages been preached. I pray, Lord, that You'd add my little take here tonight to it. We don't minimize Your Word, Lord. I know that it's not in delivery, nor, Lord, it's not in our wisdom or education or ability, because if that were what counted, it would be short tonight. But, Lord, we're not dependent on that. We're dependent on a God that's able to reach down in a young heart or a man or a woman and turn that heart and turn that spirit and that mind towards God, so that when it's done, they'll not be able to say the preacher did it, but God did it. Lord, you use Your Word. These at the altar tonight, Lord, I pray if there's others that need to join them, may Your Holy Spirit speak now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to get a songbook and come and get the musicians up here and sing. And God's speaking to you tonight. Get out of your seat. You might be here tonight. You know, we might have somebody here tonight that's discouraged, disheartened. Let me encourage you to believe this, that God will stand with you. God will stand with you. You might be somewhere that nobody's a standing. You go ahead and stand because God will stand with you. God will stand with you. He's just looking for a man. He's on a hunt tonight. I remember when he came looking for me. How many of y'all remember when he came looking for you on salvation? Y'all remember that? I remember when he came looking for me. I remember when he came looking for me to preach. Amen. And he found me. I couldn't get away from him. He was on a hunt. And he found me. Praise God. We're going to sing here tonight. God speaks to you. Get out of your seat and come.